for you. When does the water of deep river become whole? And the answer is, when it feels this full. Because those who have entered into covenant with a holy God are following in obedience to His command. To follow Him in the baptismal waters that Jesus Himself started as our example, knowing that each time these waters are disturbed, we would be reminded of our covenant when we too accepted the sacrifice of Christ and followed Him in His death, in His burial, and in His resurrection. And so for a moment now, two who have given their heart to Christ come today to disturb these holy waters, professing Christ as their Lord and Savior, burying the old and rising up new creations in Christ Jesus. And our challenge today is twofold. If you're here today and you've never been in this place, in this baptistry, you've never followed Christ in the public profession of your faith, then listen to what the Holy Spirit will say to you. And to each of us who have been in this place, it is our time between us and God to reconnect and recommit and to promise afresh and anew our faith to the One who loved us so much that He endured the cross for our sins. When Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove and lit upon Jesus' shoulder, and a voice from heaven was heard to say, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Listen, and you will hear the Holy Spirit speak twice just now. Okay. Upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, and in obedience to His command, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, and in obedience to His command, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. No better way to begin worship than deciding to follow Jesus. And for the two messages that we have just heard, as faith in action brings us to these waters, may we continue our worship now in prayer. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we rejoice with the angels in heaven when those who were lost are found, those who were misplaced have been discovered and placed back in the right. And today we thank You for the message that Kayla and Kyle have preached for us, and remind us, O God, of our call to be Your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's take our hymnals and turn to 533, He Lives. 533. Let's stand as we sing, please.
Amen. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, there are so many blessings that we need to thank you for. Father, personally, I want to thank you for Kayla, Kyle, bringing them into our church family, Father. And I ask that you might be with each and every one of us, that we might be the church family that they may need as they grow in their walk with you. Father, we ask that you bless these tithes and these offerings in Jesus' name, so that you might further thy kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'll give y'all just a few more seconds to come down. Love seeing y'all sit right here so I can see everybody. All right, excellent. Great group this morning. I think we even have a couple more. So while they're coming, I want you to think of this. I want you to think about supper time, or some people say dinner time, last meal of the day. I want you to think around there. Maybe it's after school. Maybe you've been outside playing. Maybe you've been doing homework. Who knows? You could be doing anything. It's before supper time. Mom and Dad says it's time to eat. What's the first thing your parents might tell you to go do before you eat? Wash your hands, right? How many of you are told, go wash your hands before you eat, right? You're told that really young, I'm sure, right? Now, I want you to be honest with me when I ask you. How many of you have ever gone into the bathroom and maybe just let water run over your hands real fast and dried them off, and you went in there and you said, I washed my hands? But you're being honest. I appreciate that. We've all done that, right? Yeah. And you kind of washed your hands, but not really, right? Now, can everybody tell me what this is? You've seen this before? Hand sanitizer, right? They even have wipes, like hand sanitizer wipes. You'll see this everywhere. And you can use it in a pinch when you need to. It'll clean your hands. And did you know that people have been caring or have been concerned about clean hands way long ago? Ever since Jesus' time in the Bible, they've been talking about making sure your hands are clean. Well, when Jesus talks about it in Mark chapter 7, he means something a little different when they're talking about clean hands, okay? So I want you to listen to what's said in Mark chapter 7, several verses here, and then we're going to talk about the clean hands Jesus is talking about, because somebody asks a question, and I want you to be able to tell me what the question is. So listen carefully to the question. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law, so you have Pharisees and teachers, they were from Jerusalem. They gathered around Jesus and saw some of Jesus' disciples eating food with hands that were defiled. That means unwashed, not clean. And this is what it says later in verse 5. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, here's their question, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition like the elders, instead of eating their food with unclean hands. In other words, why are your disciples not washing their hands before they eat? Well, they were, but it just wasn't quite the same way that they wanted them to wash their hands. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus replied, "Isaiah was right when he told about the people who are hypocrites, as it's written. These people honor me with their mouths, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are just human rules. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." See, Jesus is teaching us something very important here. He's teaching us that we have to make sure that we care about doing and saying the right things to others because we love God and want other people to know we love God. You see, there's a difference. If we want to say and do the right things just to make other people happy, that gives us all the attention. That puts all the attention on us. But if we ask God to show us how to say and do the right things because it shows other people we love God, then all the attention is on God. And that's the right way to do it. So this week, I want you to think about how can we give all of our attention to God the right way. And let's start now by praying about that. God, thank you so much for teaching us through your Son, Jesus, how to make sure we give you all of our attention. Show us how to do that this week. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. I'll see y'all next week.
Our God is an awesome God. Let's stand as we sing, please.
The boss of a large company needed to call his employee about an urgent problem he was having with one of the main computers at the office. He dialed the employee's telephone number and was greeted with a child's whispered hello. Feeling put out and inconvenienced for having to talk with a youngster, the boss asked, "Is your daddy home?" "Yes," whispered a small voice. "May I talk with him?" the man asked. To the surprise of the boss, the small voice whispered no. Wanting to talk with an adult, the boss asked, "Is your mommy there?" "Yes," came the answer. "May I talk with her?" Again, the small voice whispered, "No." Wanting to talk with an adult, knowing that the child would not be left alone, he figured he would just leave a message with whatever adult was watching the child. He asked the child, "Is there anyone else there besides you?" "Yes," whispered the child, "a policeman." "May I talk to the policeman?" Again, the child whispered, "No, he's busy." Wondering what a cop would be doing at the employee's home, the boss asked, "What's going on there?" "He's busy talking to mommy and daddy and the firemen," came the whispered voice. Growing concerned and even worried, as he heard what sounded like a helicopter in the background, the boss asked, "What's that noise?" "A helicopter," answered the whispered voice. "What's going on there?" the boss asked, now alarmed. An odd whispering voice answered, "The search team just landed the helicopter." Alarmed and concerned and just a little bit frustrated, the boss asked, "Why are they there?" Still whispering, the young voice replied with a muffled giggle, "They're looking for me." Those of us with children know we'll go through great lengths to find a lost child. If you're like me, even when you misplace something small, you'll go through great lengths to find it. Let's remember that as we continue the worship this morning, we are focused on how God is calling us to search out the lost, meaning we are called to find those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We must have the same concern to search out people who do not know Christ as we do when we search for something we have personally lost.
I got a feeling it didn't end well for that little boy a little later on in the day. Let me invite you to look in your bulletins at our prayer concerns. I've got some names I'd like to add today to that. It's good to have Davis Harris with us, but Davis shaking his head no, wishing I hadn't said this, but I'm down the road now, Davis. Davis ended up having some eye surgery this week unexpectedly. He's doing well. He sees things the rest of us don't see, but that's okay. We're glad to feel like he will make a full recovery. Also, you may have heard that yesterday Hilda Johnson fell. There is some damage that's going to require her going to see an orthopedic in the morning. She's been at the hospital. She is at home, and talked to her this morning. She is in a great deal of discomfort, and so please keep Hilda lifted up in your prayers. And also, I heard this morning that Jamie Bovaire is at Moore County Hospital and may be there a day or two. We want to continue to or add her to our prayer concerns. And then the name of Ronnie Fowler that Neil Medlin shared with me, and Ronnie is dealing with cancer. We want to be remembering him in our prayers in a very special way. Lena Dawkins has been in the hospital, had stents placed in. She's home doing well. She is appreciative of our care for her, and we will continue to keep her in our prayer. You see Irene Cotton on the prayer list. Irene will be having surgery in the near future, and we want to be remembering her, as is Ian Lear, who will be having heart ablation September 24. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, what have we misplaced today? The very question causes concern. But we are mindful that as we have lived our life at the pace in which we live it, that it is so easy to misplace important things, important people, important decisions. So help us today to call the spiritual police and the spiritual fire department and the heavenly helicopters to come and help us search our own life for what we've misplaced. We have mentioned the names of these we love, and we have listed in this bulletin names of people that we are praying for. Some we've been praying for a long, long time, but still we pray. Lifting them to your care, knowing that is the best place. And asking, oh God, that you might touch them with your love and with your care and with your life-changing power. Continue to direct us as we continue to worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I cast my every care.
Thank you, choir, for that reminder of where we need to be standing. We invite you to open your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, the 15th chapter. We talked last week about the parable, the life-changing parable of looking for the lost, and today we're going to continue that vein in three parables that Jesus told back-to-back, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And, of course, today we're going to be looking at the lost coin, the second one. Just a little bit of information about the 10 silver coins. There is question exactly. Remember, it was a fictitious story that Jesus told, but we who love details would love to know. The 10 coins were often used as part of the wedding process for a woman on her wedding day. She would wear around her forehead usually a leather strap, and often it would have 10 silver coins. So to make the urgency better, let's imagine that she's going to get married tomorrow. And she was looking through her wedding dress. They didn't have wedding dresses back then, by the way, but let's just say. And this was that important focal point that would be around her head. And so she was counting one last time to make sure everything was right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. She knew the three ladies at the wedding that would count those coins as they sat during the ceremony. 9. Nobody ever gets married with 9 coins. It's too late. I saw them last Tuesday, and I counted then. And they were all there. It's somewhere in the house. With that set up, Luke chapter 15, let's read verses 8 through 10. If you're able, I'd invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. May God add his blessing to the reading of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, would you speak to us for a moment this morning about our walk with you, about some things in our life that maybe we have misplaced, that we might begin to discover afresh and anew with new zeal and new energy and new determination and new commitment to make those things that might be just a little wrong right in our life, in our family, in our walk with you. Speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The end of our service today, our hymn of decision is page 531, Redeemed. Redeemed. You might want to mark that and be prepared when we get to that moment. Well, I don't know about you, but one of my favorite hobbies is misplacing things at the house and trying to find them. I just do that more than... It must be a hobby. Have you ever misplaced something? The difference between being misplaced and lost is often blurred. I always hate to move something from the category of misplaced to the category of lost, don't you? A file in a file cabinet can be misplaced. Or on a computer. I had a little bit of that this morning. Today, I wonder if the Holy Spirit might impress upon us that there might be some spiritual things in our life today that might be misplaced. Oh, they're not lost. They're just misplaced. Well, I'll give you a quick example of what I mean. The difference between being misplaced and lost. And like I say, sometimes it's a fine line. Several years ago, I was deer hunting. And I had some success and got ready to go. And I was recovering the game and things pretty much in order, and I thought, well, I need to share this news of my good fortune. And I reached in the holster where my cell phone is. I had used it just an hour ago. I knew I brought it with me. But now it was missing. Let's just say it was misplaced. And the hour was dark. Being a good deer hunter, I had cut all the volume off so it would not dare ring in the most inopportune time. And so even after I retrieved my wife's cell phone and began to call it, it made no report. And it wasn't a big area. I knew where I had gone from the time I got down out of the stand, from the time I had walked to where my game was. I remember that little circle I made. The problem was, it was in an 11-acre field. I remember thinking, well, my phone lights up in the dark. I'll just wait till dark and I'll call it then and it'll light up and I'll see it. Surely it wouldn't have fallen out of that holster face down. And so I perused in the darkness, hoping for the light to shine. And the light refused to shine. After almost an hour of looking for a misplaced phone, I decided the search needed to be suspended. I had more work to do. And so I resumed at daylight the next morning, looking for that phone, canceling many plans I had already made, because now my priority was recovering that phone. Well, not to belabor the point, I found it. After 3.5 hours, I found it. And I called 3 or 4 people for them to rejoice with me over the finding of that phone. You know that feeling, though, when you know where something should be and it's not there. We all know that experience of knowing that something is almost right, but just not quite. It's just not quite where it ought to be. She valued the misplaced coin in this parable, Jesus tells us. You see, had I lost a wrapper from an energy bar I had eaten that day, I would not have invested 5.5 hours of my time trying to recover that paper. I would have regretted littering, but I would not have looked for something of so insignificant value. It's like that with us, isn't it? I've noticed that sometimes it gets personal. Have you ever noticed that? For instance, I've already confessed to you that one of my hobbies is losing things at the house and then trying to get everybody in the house to find it. But I've noticed this about me. When I've lost my car keys and I have an appointment looming, I feel it's a crisis. And I feel like everybody in the house should be helping me look. I don't want anybody coaching me and asking me where I last found it. I want them actively looking. I want them searching diligently. I want every other plan to be dropped. And the only thing on anybody's radar is finding my phone because I've got an appointment to go to. Well, they say confession is good for the soul. I must also confess, if someone else loses their keys in the house and they're about to be late, I'd much rather enjoy the coach position offering suggestions from my recliner as to where they might look. It's different when it's you. It's different when it's you. Today, I wonder if we would be honest enough to say, what keys to the kingdom of God in my walk with God have I misplaced? The first thing she teaches us is we've got to prepare to look for the misplaced. She says she lit a candle, a light, a lamp, and got out the broom. Everything else changed. She was possessed with finding that coin. Nothing else mattered. You couldn't have invited her out to dinner or to a movie. You couldn't have encouraged her to come over and rest a while. Because what was driving her more than anything else was this important thing was misplaced in her life. And she prepared to look for it. The darkness didn't stop her. She got a light. The fact that maybe she had a dirt floor, that wouldn't stop her at all, even though maybe it had been covered up. Maybe someone had walked by and kicked some dirt on it. She would sweep the floor. She would look at where she had swept. She would look at what she was sweeping. She was intent on finding what she had lost. You see, I have discovered that if we are to be looking for what's misplaced in our life, we must do three things. First, we must realize something's been misplaced. You know, until she counted those coins, she didn't know she had missed one. I wonder today what the Holy Spirit might ask us to count in our life, about our prayer life, about our walk with Him, about our Bible study, about our attendance to His worship and to His service, about our witness in this community, about the kind of neighbor we are, about the kind of husband or wife we are. I wonder if we might realize there's something misplaced. The second thing is, with that information, we must assign a value. It's either important, like a cell phone, or unimportant, like the wrapper of a piece of candy. And whatever we determine there will determine the third thing. Whatever we decide there, whether it's valuable that my walk with God is not where it should be, or whether it's not valuable. Whether my fellowship with God and His people is important or whether it's unimportant. Whether serving God with all that I have and all that I am, whether that's important or whether that's less important, that will determine the last step. Because the last step is either threefold. We either start to diligently look, we plan to look later, or we say, oh well, so be it. And as far as I can tell, those are the only options we got. Today, I wonder what the Holy Spirit might be saying. Secondly, after she prepared to look for the misplaced, she proceeded to look. She went to work. I've discovered that buying a broom doesn't get the house swept. Have you figured that out? I've discovered that buying a gallon of paint doesn't get the room painted. In fact, I usually ask the fella at Lowe's, how many times will you shake this thing up before you start charging me extra if I keep bringing it back? Because sometimes I can have a gallon of paint for a long time before I ever crack it open and start to paint. Maybe today there's some of us that are here and we've been intending. We've got the broom. We bought the paint, spiritually speaking. But we're just not really looking for what's been misplaced. Maybe we haven't counted. Maybe we haven't discovered it. Or maybe it's not valuable enough. Let me share another story. There was an exhilarating performance in Carnegie Hall by Yo-Yo Ma, who was a celebrated and tremendous cello player. It was a day when he was tired and had been very busy. He called a cab to take him to the hotel. And when he got to the other side of Manhattan and got in his room, he realized he had left the vintage and work of art cello valued at $2.5 million in the trunk of the cab. That caused you just a little angst just to think about that if you were Yo-Yo Ma. Luckily, after panicking, after maybe doing whatever you do when you realize you have made that kind of mistake, he began to think, you know, there are a lot of cabs in New York City. A lot of cabs. He began that desperate search of finding his misplaced instrument. But fortunately, after a little bit, he calmed down. He remembered he'd gotten a receipt from the cabbie. And on the receipt was an ID number. And he called the ID number, and after a diligent search, they found the cabbie, opened the trunk, and there it was. I can rejoice with him right now, and I don't even know what he looks like. But I just don't want to lose $2.5 million. I don't want anybody to lose $2.5 million. What have we lost today of value? I wonder if God would put some priceless person on our heart and on our mind that we know is lost. We know that in the kingdom of God right now is misplaced, if you will. I wonder if God might put a priceless commitment on our heart, more important than that valued cello. I wonder today if we might say there's something misplaced in my life that when I get it there, I'll be a better person, a better parent, a better son or daughter, a better friend, a better husband or wife, a better neighbor. Finally, this morning, there will be praise when we find that that's been misplaced. She rejoiced. She couldn't keep it quiet. She had to tell others. And I love the last verse of our text. It says, Jesus said, just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This morning I got to the office early and was looking at some of the news articles, and I discovered that just today, a helicopter rescued a 62-year-old woman. It actually rescued her Saturday after she'd been missing since August the 20th in the Sierra National Forest. She was injured, but they found her alive. And he goes on to talk about how they began first to comb the area, and then later with horseback, and then finally with a drone, and then with a helicopter, and then with search dogs. You see, there was one who was lost. Her name was Harwood. Her last name was Harwood. She needed to be found. The Fresno County office, sheriff's office, never stopped looking. They looked one day and didn't find her. But they didn't call off the search. They looked another day and they didn't find her. And another, and another, and another. 8 days they searched for her. They searched for her as though her life depended upon it. They searched for her. And they found her. They found her. And they rejoiced, according to the article I read in the Sacramento Bee. We too need to rejoice. Oh, did you rejoice when you heard the message that Kayla and Kyle preached for us today? There are others who live in our community who need Christ as their Lord and Savior. Are we preparing the misplaced things in our life to make us the best search party? To make us the best ones equipped to go out and to search for those people as though their lives depend upon it. To search for them. And then to come to worship and rejoice when we see them in the baptistry and in our worship center, and in our fellowship hall, and in our ministry programs, to rejoice. What are the lessons that the lady with the lost coin could teach us about the misplaced things in our life? Prepare to look. Today could be the day of preparation. Proceed to look. Get started today. Call someone today. Say to the Lord today, this is an area in my life, Lord, that's not what it needs to be. But today I'm going to make a renewed commitment, oh God. Proceed to work and then praise when we find what has been displaced. All of heaven rejoiced. How about the things of God in our heart? Have you done inventory today? Have you counted? Is there something missing? I'm offering spiritual brooms and oil lamps to help us look. But we've got to do the work. And God will bring the blessing. And God will bring the increase. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for a little story about a woman losing a coin. Could remind us about what's important in our life. About people whose lives, their eternal life, will be determined by what we do, and we say, and we encourage, and we share what you've done for them. Or as Paul said, how will they know if nobody tells them? How will they come if nobody brings them? How will they understand if nobody explains it to them? And how will they know the love of God if we don't love them first? So help us, oh God, to become intentional about doing all that you would have us to do, being all you'd have us to be, about looking for that that's been misplaced in our life. and in our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is page 531, Redeemed. How I love to tell others about Christ's love because I've been redeemed. And that is our call. And that is our message as we, the people of God, leave this place to go and begin our search party for those who've been misplaced. If you need to come for any reason this morning, as the Holy Spirit impresses upon our heart, we invite you to do so as we stand together. Be seated for just a moment. Kyle and Kayla, would you come join me? And Randy's on his way. We have the Diaconate Family Ministry at our church where we assign a deacon or deaconess to every member of our church and on special occasions. And if you need them, they're here. And on this special occasion for them, I've asked Randy to come and present them with their baptismal certificate. Turn to your seats. Just a couple of words. You'll see all kind of handouts and sign-up sheets out there. I hope you go by regularly the atrium and see the opportunities that are there. You'll see two opportunities of meaningful membership and a complete growth discipleship class we're going to be offering. A lot of the information is right there. I hope that you will read that. One announcement not in the bulletin. The Golden Fellowship is scheduling a trip on September the 12th. To the State Farmers Market restaurant to have a meal and shopping there. And the bus is going to leave at 9 a.m. So note that. There'll be more about that next week in our bulletin. And again, I want to thank you just looking up there for that tremendous offering today on our catch-up Sunday. Thank you so very much for your faithfulness. And we will continue to be faithful people because that is the tradition that Flat Springs is, and I appreciate you so very, very much. Again, please read the other announcements that are in our bulletin and be involved as God would give you opportunity. Let me invite you to stand with me. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace and in God's power and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His searching people. In the midst of His misplaced people, would you pray with me? God, go with us. Guide us and direct us. Give us the desire, as we have prepared today by worshiping You, to proceed to the work that we might praise You for the finding. In Jesus' name, amen.
Singing in here and ice cream and desserts in the fellowship hall. tonight at 6.